From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. The final hour of the Thursday edition is here. Coming up in about 12 minutes, Brandon Wright will join us via Skype. Looking forward to that. You can join the show, tweet us at Midday 180. You can follow us on Facebook and on Instagram through the same manner. Just search us out, the Midday 180.
My mother has replied to my text, and she says that my family, my parents say pecan.
Wow.
This is someone
there you go.
Said
there's in the Northeast.
Yeah, someone said Jersey specifically, that they lived there for years, and everyone in New Jersey refers to it as pecan and not pecan.
The other one is Caribbean or Caribbean.
So I'm really discovering a lot about myself as we go through these exercises. I say both. I say Royal Caribbean, and if you're talking about the sea, I say the Caribbean Sea. But that's it.
I think I have always said Caribbean, and I don't know why. And I don't like if you say Caribbean, it's not like it registered with me that you said something differently than what I would say, and just go about my the conversation.
I've evolved to Caribbean.
But you were Caribbean.
I think maybe I was mixed, or as a kid I was the other way, but this is like Chad in the great state of Nevada. I've come to say Caribbean.
I have a feeling that Reed says Caribbean.
Well, I was about to say, if you really look at it, so it was the people who lived in the Lesser Antilles, were it was the Carib tribe. So if you look at it that way, it should be Caribbean. So I guess if you mesh the two really fast, it's Caribbean.
So is there a Caribbean? Like if you're shopping in the bean aisle?
If you go asking for beans in some of those islands, there's no telling what you're going to end up with. Besides federal charges.
Gas. You're going to end up with gas.
Yeah.
They have a terrible beer down there that's called Carib.
So
I've had that.
Jay on Twitter asked the question, so when on pecan or pecan, he's asking this question. So when does P-E make the puh sound? Most of y'all need to bring back out the Hooked on Phonics tapes. Now, I go against this, but I'll give you an example of where it does that. Petition, right? It's the same thing as pecan.
And it's petition.
Right, yeah, you don't say petition or petition. It's petition.
That's so very good that you came up with that so quickly.
Well, it came up and it defeats my argument. So I'm helping out the other side with that. But there are examples of where that happens.
Well, then the guy is going to say it's because of T's on the end. It's like pet. It's not Pete.
Yeah, but it's pet. It's not. Maybe I'm wrong. It's petition, like it's pecan, like P-U-H. It's not petition.
Asian Carp Allen is on the line. Allen, welcome.
Hey, man. That new dick you got answering the phone's pretty good guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, very much.
We like him.
Golly, man. I just wanted to check in. I hadn't called in a while and hadn't heard from you guys, so I wanted to check in before I
know what you're saying. You now, Agent Carp Allen, you're acting like you haven't heard from in a while. Like there's a regularly scheduled segment where we call you every week. This is amazing.
So, what
way to brag on yourself there. I haven't heard from you guys in a while. Wow, how about that?
I want to know where he's going with this, because he sent me a text that said, randomly today, he goes, do I still call 737-1045? And I said, yes. And this was during our conversation about pecan or pecan. And he says, I said, are you on hold? He says, I am. And now he says, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Why checking in? Hey, Hair Metal Henry, we'll call you next. And Hosey, we'll try to get to you at about 1:45.
I'm glad that he missed us, though.
This reminds me of a famous or infamous local radio interview with a radio host in the afternoon who brought on a certain head coach of an NFL team in town and said, well, you called this interview, so what do you want to talk about? Go ahead. Is how the interview started.
I don't like the way this conversation has turned at all.
This is a classic call so far. Yeah. What did you want us to ask you about when we called you?
Maybe my knee or any of my adventures.
Have you caught any carp lately? Have you been doing any fishing?
I have the need to spawn for sure. This is ridiculous. I'm going crazy.
I am glad that Alan called in because today would have been Midday Masters, and Alan purchased a team for Midday Masters. So Asian Carp, Alan, Team Asian Carp will be back, and we're rescheduling that, I believe, for early September as we sit here now. But today would have been the day that Alan would have gone for the green jacket.
And, Alan, that's why we're calling. We wanted to see how you felt your team would have done tonight if, in fact, the Midday Masters was played.
Based on last year's performance, probably bad to very bad.
Well, you had the knee brace last year.
Yeah. Now I got the brand new knee, so we'll see.
Well, this is new because it is new.
This has been a fantastic call. Sit by the phone next Thursday at 1:10, and we'll give you a ring.
You have a standing invite.
You know what? This is what I get.
Actually,
I deserve this.
We're doing the Midday 180 season ticket holder segment. You're more than welcome to join us on that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm glad I called. Very glad. See ya.
Thanks, Alan.
This is a great idea. We do home check-ins now.
Yeah, let's get a running inside joke going of everyone who calls the show just awkwardly saying, haven't heard from you guys in a while. What do you want to ask me?
That was great. Just want to see what's up. You guys haven't
called. The image of Cheeseburger picking up the home landline just came and popped in my mind with like a 10-foot extension cord on the phone.
Yeah, hey guys, I got a sell for you, but first, you got any questions for me? I haven't heard from you in a while. Yeah. Cheeseburger.
Coming up on a very special segment of the Midday 180, we call Cheeseburger.
We have his number. We have Wanda. We have Titan Woman. We should do a home check-in with
them. We should do a home check-in on Titan Woman. It's like an Ozark episode over there.
It's amazing how divisive Titan Woman is with our audience. There are some who hear her and love it and can't get enough, and awesome. Other people just go off on the fact that we would ever have her on for 5 seconds on the show. It's amazing the different opinions you get. I love it.
That's the brilliance of that guest. And same goes for Isaiah and Indy. Split on him, too.
You know who's not divisive? Isaiah and Indy. You know who's a uniter? Dick Reed. People love him.
You know who else is a uniter? Brandon Wright.
Yes. Brandon Wright about to join us via Skype. We get the latest from the professional basketball player on what the league is like through his circles, who he's chatted with, what this has all been like during quarantine, and what he's hearing about the league startup that's coming up. Brandon Wright, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
Enable the 104.5 The Zone skill on your Amazon Echo. Just tell Alexa to enable the 104.5 The Zone skill. Then listen by saying, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone online, edleysbbq.com. The crew is all here, and we've added in a fifth guest. It's Brandon Wright, who joins us as we all are social distance across Middle Tennessee. Brandon, good to see you, man.
Good to see you guys, too, man.
We like to get a glimpse inside some of the home offices or game rooms, wherever people may be situated in their homes during the social distancing. And we see behind you this massive shark mounted on the wall. You last were on Skype in 2013, and you caught the shark in 2015. Tell us the story.
Me and my trainer, we went to South Florida, right outside of Fort Lauderdale, just for a little, I think it was like a 3-4 day trip just to get away. It was during the off season. And I kind of just booked the trip at the last minute. I was like, let's go do something. And we ended up getting the boat and going deep sea fishing. And it was a rare day out there. The captain said, you know, I'll probably catch a shark. I'll probably catch one or two every 2-3 months. We actually caught two sharks that day. And the one I called was 7 feet. I hooked it, and he says, "All right, man, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's probably gonna take two or three hours to get this bad boy in." I was like, "Okay." So I just started going crazy. I started reeling like heck, and I get it in 30 minutes. And we get it up. You know, we can't boat it. We can't boat it or anything like that. I gave it everything I had. We pick it up, take pictures of it, and we look at it, and then we let it go. After that, I get so exhausted, I have to go back inside of the ship and lay down. I was depleted. I was done. But I just wanted to beat that record, though. It was fun. It was cool. But that's probably awesome. My last time catching a shark. Won't do it again.
So he said 3 hours, and you said challenge accepted, and you reeled that bad boy in 30 minutes is what I'm hearing.
30 minutes. Got it in. 30 minutes. We lifted it up, took a picture of it. I mean, those things fight because you reel it in, and they run out another 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards. So I was really just going crazy at it.
So I've been deep sea fishing twice, and it wasn't really deep sea. It was just off the shore. But first one was Atlantic Ocean off of the coast of Virginia, and we're searching for big fish, and I ended up, my brother caught a stingray, and that thing was pissed. I mean, it was upset. It was a massive, massive thing. Yeah. So we ended up having to cut the line. But most recently, the night before the longest game in NFL history, Titans radio went out on the boat in Miami, and we were searching to catch a shark. Philip Noel got to sit in the captain's chair, and Brandon, you know what I'm talking about, where they strap you in, like buckle you in. Yep. And he's going to town trying to get this shark reeled in, and it ended up breaking the line because it was so big. But nonetheless, is that a tiger shark? What is that?
It's a bull shark. So I caught, mine was 7.5 feet, 350 pounds, and my trainer caught one that was 6 feet, 250 pounds.
I don't know how you reeled that in 30 minutes.
You say he hadn't caught two in a day in 4 years. That's what he told us. So it was.
How did you get it home?
Well, that's not the actual shark. So when you catch a shark, they have a deal with you. If you catch a shark out there, they end up paying for it, and they do like a replica of it. That was the deal.
But they do a mold of it. I'm saying.
Yeah, they do a mold of it. Yeah.
And then they ship it to you.
Yeah, they ship it to me. Yeah, this thing is heavy. Trust me, it's heavy.
I mean, it takes up your entire wall, and it's a massive room that you're sitting in. So that's crazy. It's intimidating too. It's like, hey, come over and hang out, and you see the shark in the water. Like, okay, this guy means business.
It's funny you said it because everyone that comes over here and comes down the steps, and you turn right and you see that, they're kind of thrown off. They definitely are thrown off.
What's the craziest thing with some of your friends around the league and the homes you've been to that you've seen on walls?
I mean, I've seen a lot of animals.
Any live tigers from anyone?
Live tigers. But I mean, a lot of you know, big bucks and crazy stuff. And I seen a huge fish tank before with small sharks in them. They said they can't leave them in there all year around. They got to change them out because they start getting so big. Just ridiculous stuff.
Go ahead, Paul.
How many guys don't have jerseys? Every pro athlete's house that I've been in, it's not that many, but framed jerseys of college teammates, good friends who've gone on to other teams, great guys they played with who've retired, all of that stuff seems like almost a must. You know anybody that doesn't do that? Do you have those?
Yeah, I have it in a different room upstairs. I don't know anyone that doesn't have jerseys. And right now, it's funny you say that, Paul, because I'm actually working on getting a Vince Carter North Carolina jersey right now to put in my man cave.
You're working on a Vince Carter North Carolina jersey, are you working your North Carolina channels to that, or do you just have a bid going on eBay right now for one of them? How does that work?
No eBay. Like, I hit Vince up, ask him is it cool if I get a replica of one of his jerseys? Because we can contact North Carolina, and they'll give us any jersey that we want. You know, even the ones we didn't play in. I mean, I know you've seen this season, they had some cool looking jerseys that I really, really liked. I'm going to get like 20 of them for myself, but I'm going to get a couple of his jerseys. I'm going to get them to sign and put it in my man cave.
Brandon Wright, our guest, as we chat via Skype. Last time he was on Skype, he said, was 2013. Everybody is using Zoom right now. Yeah. Is that how all of the NBA players and teams are connecting?
Yeah, Zoom and FaceTime. I don't have a lot of Microsoft products, but I heard it's a big thing if you use a lot of Microsoft products.
It's all FaceTime. And how many of the NBA players have home gyms? Like, how are guys working out right now?
I wouldn't call it a per se home gym. A couple guys do, but they, you know, like me, I have a lot of equipment here. I can get the job done. I can do anything. A lot of guys have pools, especially if you live on the West Coast or in the Deep South, you can get in the pool. I wanted to get in the pool today, but it was way too cold this morning.
Yeah.
Brandon, is just talking to everyone that you talk with around the league, is the expectation there's going to be some type of NBA basketball this year, maybe even if it's a summertime tournament or something like that, or are people starting to think, okay, they're just going to call it a wash for this season?
Yeah, I 2 weeks ago, you know, come back in May, but now guys are thinking it's over because, you know, you push the season so far, you start running into the next season. They don't want to cut games in the next season. So, you know, it's looking like to me that, you know, if this thing pushes out another month, month and a half, I think they might have to call and just pull the plug.
Brandon Wright with us coming up. I can't remember if it was Paul or Chad that had the idea of the tournament style for the NBA postseason, but I want to get Brandon's take on this. And also, there's an interesting structure with the season being pushed back when it comes to contract bonuses, when guys are scheduled to become free agents versus when they actually will, if this schedule plays out the way it is, and how you go about starting a season immediately after you finish the season with the way the playoffs would be structured. We'll get Brandon's take on all that and what he's hearing. That's coming up on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
Want more? More content from 104.5 The Zone? Head to our website and click on the podcast page for original podcasts, on-demand audio, and your favorite shows. Get the best from the Wake Up Zone, Midday 180, 3HL, and the Big Six. Plus, check out originals like Paul Kuharsky Elsewhere, Step One Learn Sports, The Pop Six, The Strike Zone, The Ultimate Tennessee Podcast, and more. Subscribe to our podcast feeds for Apple and Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify to have them download straight to your smartphone. Check it out now. 1045thezone.com/podcast.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Brandon Wright, nice enough to join us from his home in Brentwood. That's where we're looking at with Paul as well. Chad's in Mount Juliet. I'm in Murfreesboro. David Reed is the chairman of the board in Nashville. Chad, tell Brandon your NBA tournament idea.
So, Brandon, we know there's going to be winners that come out of this, right? Whatever returns first in the sports that's out there, they're going to be the initial winner. Maybe it's football season. Maybe it's the start of baseball and people want a little piece of Americana and they're watching more baseball because there's live sporting events happening. Whenever this ends, mid-May, June, July, whatever the case. My idea for the NBA is a tournament almost March Madness-like, but you can't make it single elimination in the NBA, where you start out with a best-of-three series. You go with the last-place team, 30th-place team, versus the number one team, regardless of conference affiliation. 30 versus 1, 29 versus 2, 28 versus 3, all the way down to number 16 versus number 15. You play in the same arena. The higher seed gets all home games. Best out of three. Do it on consecutive nights. If the Lakers take care of whoever the worst team is, or the Bucks take care of the worst team in two nights, it's over in two nights. And then you move on to a best of five, and then eventually a best of seven series from that point on, where you don't play any regular season games when you come back. You go right into this big NBA tournament from the start. What do you think of the possibilities of that and how that could captivate the sports fan out there who's starved for any sports once this thing ends?
I mean, it would be cool. I mean, I like the idea, but so Chad, do you think at the end of this, do you call them an NBA champion or do you just say you make something up? Like,
I think the same way, you know, the was it the Spurs that beat the Knicks in the late 90s? I want to say 99 in a strike shortened year. But we still say the Spurs are NBA champions. You know, that Tim, a young Tim Duncan won a title with David Robinson, so we consider them champions. I mean, I think the circumstances are what they are. It's certainly different than the route every other NBA champion has taken, but yeah, I would consider them the NBA champion. This is how the tournament would be structured, and you eliminate all regular season. Whenever they come back, you play this tournament, you crown a champion at the end of it.
Yeah, I think it would be cool, but the problem would be the PA would not go for it, and the teams, they definitely wouldn't go for it. I mean, you got teams like Milwaukee and the Lakers who fought crazy hard for 6 months already to get home court advantage or get close to it. And, you know, they want to throw out a proposal like this. It would be great for the media, for the fans, but the players and the coaches and the organizations, they would stamp it no so fast that it wouldn't even get a breath of light.
Is there a desire from players that you talk to around the league to get back and play this year? Or is there almost a hope that the league would just go ahead and say, it's not suspended, it's done for this year, and we'll start back up in 2020, 2021?
Well, it's been I've talked to a lot of guys about this, and it's been a couple of different. So the younger guy, they want to play because it's looking like they probably won't get paid on that last 25% of their money. And then you got the guy that's played for a long time, and you got more like max guys that say, hey, if we can't play, we can't play. We need to, safety is first. You know, we can't have the whole league getting sick. So that's kind of where the split is. Guys would love to play, but guys want to be healthy also. They don't want to get sick.
Brandon, take us behind the scenes on what the contract structures are like, the big money payouts. I know in reading through some of the reporting, some players get bonus money in July. Most guys are free agents by the end of June. How does it all work out, and what is having to be negotiated right now if they push the season back?
It's tricky because it's all about the owner and the general manager and the team and what they want to do. And, some guys have game clauses. Some guys have minutes clauses. Some guys have, numbers clauses, but they have to play a certain amount of games to qualify to get those numbers. So if they hadn't hit those games yet, they can't get the money. And I'm going to say 90% of these owners, if a guy is close to it, even a point or two or a game or two or whatever off, they'll push that through out of generosity. But you'll get a couple teams that say, no, you didn't get it. Sorry, things happen in the world, and, we can't honor that.
I wonder, too, like with the schedule being pushed back, if they are able to resume, would that put Durant's comeback early? Would he be able to return?
I mean, I think he could. I don't think it's not like football where you put guys on IR.
Okay.
Durant, I was out for the season. But that it's not like football where you put guys on IR and they can't come back. Guys have been declared out for the season and end up coming back and playing towards the end of the year because the progress of the rehab or whatever. But I don't see him coming back to play. I don't see Kyrie playing no matter what they do.
Any idea what these guys are getting paid to be a part of this virtual EA Sports tournament?
It's probably a nice five-figure check. Decent. Just be sitting at home,
Yeah, and they're just playing, I'm guessing what, PS4 probably?
Yeah, Xbox, video games, and just talking a little trash and giving the fans a little bit to look at. I mean, it's all fun.
Brandon Wright has been our guest. What are you up to? Like, what shows are you binging? What would you recommend us watch right now?
We just finished Ozark Lad.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah,
I finished it last night too.
I'm on the final episode, so don't ruin it.
I won't spoil it for anybody. I'm not that type of guy. I hate when people do that. But yeah, I mean, it was full blast season three all the way through, and we just finished Curb Your Enthusiasm last week. Homeland, we're still watching that. We're a little bit behind on that, waiting on Billions to come out. But the director said that they only finished 7 episodes, so that's going to be a little strange. They're going to start it May 2nd or May 7th or something like that. And they only got 7 episodes, and they got to stop, and then we got to wait for the rest of it. So that's what we're on right now. I mean, obviously we watched the Tiger King crap. But
yeah,
Isn't it strange? By the way, Brandon, you're hitting all the right notes with me. I watch
all the
shows you mentioned.
Yeah, you've got good taste.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, this is one of the greatest seasons of comedic television I've seen this past year with Curb Your Enthusiasm. I highly recommend that. Isn't it strange, though, watching all these shows pre-COVID-19 pandemic when all these shows were shot and the world was completely normal? Then you're seeing everything, and now thinking about all the new artwork and shows that will be shot and movies and everything else that will reflect this time that will be coming out next year at some point, right?
We're going to get a particularly different type of view of this actual time in history, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out in the fall and the spring and the next summer and all that kind of stuff.
We watch a lot of HGTV as family stuff. Yeah, my son likes it. He pointed out the handshakes and the hugging, and we were like, yeah, this is all filmed before all of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's curious. A 10-year-old's curious about what that's going to look like after all of this.
I really wish we could get one more season of Homeland now. And the season is built around the COVID-19 and everything going on, because that show does a better job of any other show of reflecting exactly what's going on in the world and having a season based around that.
And we aren't rushing through that show because we know it's over. So, you know, we don't just blow through it because we know it's about to end. So we're a little sad about Homeland ending, but, you know, we'll get through that one probably within the next 3 to 5 days.
Like a good book. You don't want the last chapter to come too quickly.
Final thing for you, Brandon, the Jordan documentary, the 10-part series on the Bulls. Do you have any insight on how good this is going to be? We know it's going to be good. Is it going to be like OJ Made in America good?
I have no clue. And I've tried to find out, and they've kept this thing super airtight. They said it's great. They said it'll probably be the best thing they put on ESPN in the last 5 years. That's what I've been told.
Wow.
So,
I mean, my expectations are at that level for this, though, because we've been talking about it for years. And I say years, a couple of years. And knowing that it's been moved up now during this time of binging, as we all sit at home, everyone's going to be watching this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to know how good it's going to be, because Jordan doesn't allow that much access to his personal life, you know? So, you know, how good is it really going to be? That's my question.
Well, the key will be, will guys like you who have interacted with him, will they be open and honest about those stories and firsthand interactions and accounts? That's the key in making it great.
Yeah. I mean, probably not put much on the camera.
Well, here's hoping that Steve Kerr goes into detail on the fight, you know, instances that. I want to know more about. Hey, man, hope you and the family stay well, and let's check in from time to time on this.
Let's do it. I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, man, you
Thanks,
too.
Brandon.
Brandon Wright has been our guest. Always great to catch up with him. We will wrap up the show, tell you what's on deck for tomorrow on a big Friday edition. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
This is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, and you're listening to the official station for Titans football.
Touchdown, Titans!
104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. It has been a fun show today. Jam-packed tomorrow, Clay Travis. We will have Stephen Godfrey on the show, John McClain, Austin Price, and much more. Looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to watching the final episode of Ozark tonight so we can all discuss the season 3 finale.
I'm excited for that.
And we need to wait probably even further, either even longer, to discuss on the show officially, right?
No, we'll give a warning. And we're giving a warning right now. Bust it out tonight. Catch up.
I think I have friends who are just starting Ozark because they have all this time now.
I think if we give the proper spoiler alerts and we let people know that if we're going to spend a segment on it, and we even say on Twitter and everywhere else, we're talking about the series and the series conclusion during this segment, I think we'd be okay to do it tomorrow. I'm also okay waiting until next week where people have a second weekend to binge it and then talking about it sometime next week.
Yeah. Read your thoughts.
It would make a great podcast because Paul and radio, we're not in the habit of saying, hey, don't listen right now. Turn your radio off because we're going to discuss.
It would be a better podcast.
But there are times in this era of TV, streaming TV.
Era or era.
That's another one. Era or era. There are times now with streaming TV where some things beg to be discussed and not the entire audience has watched, where I don't think it's completely inappropriate to say, we're discussing something here and we're doing you the favor of saying, if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to want to listen to this on podcast, perhaps when you've caught up.
Era?
We're still stuck on you saying era. And acting like that's something.
Yeah, but I took a sip of water after that, and Hutton had a pregnant pause, and I almost snarfed that right up my nose onto my keyboard, which would have been more water on my keyboard than when Wycheck sprayed my keyboard during the walk-off, the famous walk-off, yes. When Mark pulled his calf.
The infamous walk-off.
God, the walk-off is one of the top five moments in zone history.
Whenever we all get out of the house, can we get Mark Howard involved in some sort of physical challenge again? I don't know if it's a walk-off or what it is, but really just to help the self-esteem, the morale of the Mid-State.
If we saying can he has bad self-esteem?
No, yeah, I'm saying my own self-esteem.
Paul's saying he just has a hearty appetite.
Would really help my own self-esteem. What was that?
What was that, Dick Reed?
Paul just says he just has a hearty appetite.
I don't know anything about Mark's appetite or anything.
Mark's physical challenge is getting on air every day.
Whoa, nice.
He doesn't like to look at the camera on these Skypes. I know that.
Hey, Chad, Mark is accepting challenges because he accepted your challenge of the greatest list of all time, athletes of all time, or whatever, from Tennessee, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did it on air. He did his own Hall of Fame of 25 Middleton of Nashvillians.
All right, on to number three.
We should play his. Did he run through it quickly, or did they spend an hour on that?
What he did was he took what the Athletic did, and he went through, and he either said yes or no on theirs, and he basically eliminated three or four and added three or four in that he would have put in.
I'm curious on who you enjoyed his list.
Yeah, I did. Okay. It was good to hear. I mean, I think he put Ricky Bowers in. He put Carlton Flatt in.
Okay.
And the two high school guys, and he put Daryl Waltrip in.
Who did he take out?
I don't remember. I remember him and Schaefer arguing over Grantland Rice. And because Grantland Rice went to Vanderbilt, they were associating him with Vanderbilt or with Nashville, but not everyone associates him with Nashville. So it was kind of a stretch to put him in.
Fred Russell.
Yeah.
I see what they're saying, though, on the association with Nashville. I mean, we associate him with Nashville, so I guess that certainly puts him in. But for the he's saying, like, if you say the name nationwide, they think Nashville, Tennessee.
Or I think he's saying they don't think Nashville, Tennessee.
No, I'm saying to qualify on his Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I think they put the conditions out, the Athletic, that you had to have been born here, gone to school here, or played a good share of your career here.
As we wrap up the show, I want to get your thoughts on this. Better troll job yesterday from O.J. Simpson. Was it him tweeting, I did it, and then underneath several sentences down he put April Fools, or was it him saying that he believes Carol Baskin killed her husband?
The irony of him
saying that.
Yeah, I don't prefer either. This bleeping bleeper making jokes about Nicole and Ron Goldman's death should be punishable by more jail time than he got for his kidnapping thing. I mean, this is absolute BS that this guy thinks he can make any jokes about those murders. He is such a psychopath that he is disconnected from the idea that two people were viciously, brutally murdered. And oh, by the way, by him.
Yeah. And the whole country's disconnected from it. We still talk more OJ than we do the two people who died in that, the two people he killed.
I'm not into OJ for humor. I'm not looking for an OJ knock-knock joke book.
Fun show today. We are back at it tomorrow.
Don't block the box. You lock the lock. See you.